welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and I manage the mindfulness program at Hope.
I'm Paris and I'm a support worker at Hope.
I'm Petra and I'm a volunteer.
So what we decided to talk about today is staying motivated, because both of you are in early recovery. And about sort of staying motivated. So let's start with you, Paris. How do you stay motivated?
I look at what I'm doing most days, and I try and correct what I'm doing. So I have a routine, not a massively strict routine. And when I feel that I'm not doing the correct things, I really look at my daily plan and try and involve all things in it, basically.
What about you?
Yeah, similarly, I've got a morning routine and my gratitude list when I do my readings. But what I have learned to do now that I wasn't able to do before is look at my behaviour and see when it's slightly off base, and then I can correct it rather than it building up and becoming chaotic. So I kind of nip it in the bud. So yeah, there's a lot more awareness.
And do you guys think that, like, sort of staying motivated is a problem that people can start having sort of early on after they quit alcohol or drugs?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you have to be motivated in order to keep your recovery. So for me, I go to meetings. I'm obviously working at Hope. I'm kind of surrounded in a healing environment anyway. But previously, when I have relapsed, the motivation has gone, the focus has ceased to be on my recovery, and other things have taken its place. So it's hugely important.
That's a good, actually, you touched upon it there. I'll ask you Paris, what would be some of the symptoms then that you were losing your motivation? How would you know?
Lack of exercise. I think emotions are the biggest thing that I noticed, definitely with me.
So explain more about that.
That I kind of start to get lazy, I start to feel resentful, lack of effort. I can notice when I'm not being completely myself, because I'm generally quite a positive and happy person, and when I'm not, that's when I try and rein it in and try and look at my behaviours and see what I'm doing wrong, because there's always something that I'm doing that is affecting my everyday life. I think I do the readings every morning. I read readings every morning, and like exercise, I exercise every day when I was in treatment, and I exercise only once or twice a week now, but I noticed that, so now I'm going to change it and go to the gym more. But it's just recognizing when you're slipping and trying to pick it back up again, which is quite hard to do, but if you do it early on, then you can bring it back to how it was before.
I think you already mentioned a couple of symptoms. Like when you're losing your motivation, a couple of signs that you're losing your motivation. Is there any more you can think of, Petra?
Yeah, my smoking will increase. I start to become more judgmental of other people. So instead of looking at my own behaviours, I start to externalise it and notice other people's defects. I start wanting to be on my own more, which I could call solitude. But it's possibly isolation. But I can justify it and say, oh no, I love, time on my own. Again, the exercise, because I exercise daily. So if that starts to kind of go, then I know that things aren't right. I look at my diet. Am I getting enough sleep? So just basic self-care, really. If my self-care starts to go, then I know there's an issue arising, and to have a look at that particular issue and what it is.
I mean, if we could pin this down, I mean, what exactly are we talking about when we say motivation? Like, what are we really getting at?
For me, it's drive to maintain my recovery, to have to feel positive about it, to feel optimistic, to wake up and be focused on it. That's my motivation.
And is that something that's sort of bound to fluctuate, or...?
I think, yeah, I mean, it's there is an element of fluctuation, because nothing in life is perfect. Just as anything fluctuates, emotions fluctuate. But I think there has to be a kind of constant base level. And I think it's maintaining that constant base level and not sort of succumbing to the variables and fluctuations.
So is it dangerous? Would you say it's dangerous to sort of for your motivation to go too low, Carlos?
I think so, yeah. I think it starts like a downward spiral, definitely. I can't really think.
But try if you can sort of, you know, what way would you experience that? Or
I think it's like for basic recovery, I think that you need to kind of do, especially if you're working a program, an NA program, like I speak to my sponsor once a week and I do my step work, and say if you start to forget to ring your sponsor, you start to forget to do your step work, and or you can't really be bothered to exercise. And I think that it takes the focus off you and your recovery. I think it's when you start externalizing and start looking at outward things, that's when it starts to really mess with your own recovery. Because I think that, especially in your first year, like everyone always says it, that you really have to focus on yourself, because you're constantly changing, you're working through the steps, and you're growing as a person. But at the same point, you need to allow some change in your recovery with your routine, because you have to be flexible, because life is on life's terms. You can't change how life is.
I was going to say, I mean, surely there's going to be days when you're just not going to be feeling that motivated. I mean, is that such a big deal, or?
I had it recently. I haven't been feeling very well last week, and I just couldn't exercise in the morning because I was so tired. So for me, it was part of my self-care that I kind of took a step back, and I looked after myself, so I rested more. I didn't stop thinking about my recovery, but also I didn't pressurize myself that I have to do this, and this.
Because that could be a problem, couldn't it?
I mean, absolutely.
If you sort of feel, look, I have to do this and I have to do this, or else I'm in real trouble. I mean, it could become a real problem, because there may be days when you just really can't. You just don't have the energy. You might not be well. But if you sort of have this idea, oh, you know, I just have to do it.
No, you have to be, I think it's about not getting stressed about your recovery. Your recovery shouldn't be a stressful kind of ordeal. It should be something that makes us happy. So, yeah, you have to, I suppose, judge it by how you are feeling. For me, it was physically last week. So, as I said, I didn't put that pressure on myself. I didn't think I was slipping. So, but again, it's, as Para said, it's being flexible. It's allowing for sort of life's variables, really.
And how would you know? So I think this sort of boils down to this. There might be a sort of legitimate reason for not doing things on certain days, and a sort of a more dangerous way of thinking. And how would you sort of say, you know, so say you wake up tomorrow and you don't want to exercise, and how could you tell if that's a really, if it's coming sort of from the right place or from an okay place, if that makes sense?
For me, it's I judge it physically, solely physically, because I know my motivation for exercise is, you know, is quite high. If it was one day, I probably wouldn't take it too seriously. If it was then over a period of days, then I think, yeah, there's something wrong here, and then I would share it with either my sponsor or a friend or one of the counsellors here. So yeah, I would definitely share it.
You have to say about that, Paris?
I think the main thing that's going through my head is just finding a balance. I think that's like a really important word. But I think, like, for example, with my exercise, I wouldn't say I've had a massive, big exercise routine for the last like 4 or 5 weeks. And I've really started to notice it recently. I mean, I've got a gym and a boy in my apartment, but I am kind of one that says, oh, well, you know, I need that self-care and I need to be able to kind of just chill out for a while and just... Whereas now I'm actually noticing that is actually an excuse, and it's not because I actually need that self-care, which probably I do, but I should really take an hour out each day and exercise. So I've just planned to do like a morning run every Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is something that I can commit to. I think once I make a commitment to do something, then I can do it. But especially when you're out of the treatment centre,
That's the important thing, isn't it? I mean, when you sort of leave this environment, I mean, that's when the motivation really becomes important, isn't it?
That is. I mean, I do step work every single day, and that's something I'm really motivated to do. But like the little things, like meditation and exercise, they don't seem so important when you're not in this environment. But they are. They are as important. And just that general self-care of just being with yourself and getting to know yourself again, because I think you need to love yourself in recovery. I think that's really, really important.
Because I know you went home, Petra, for a week or so there, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And how? I mean, that was a pretty short period, but how was that, like, sort of staying motivated during that time? Was it more of a challenge than you expected, or was it quite easy?
I expected it to be a challenge, but it's always a bit of a shock to the system coming from Thailand, and then I flew back into Grey Heathrow, and it was the following day when I was out on my own driving. In my previous drinking area, that I was triggered. You know, I definitely was triggered when I was driving, but it was the mindfulness that I used every single part of this program that I'd been that I'd learned at my time at Hope. So they all came into play.
And so, did you have a structure when you went home, or
I did. I had a structure that I'd prepared for, so I knew what I was doing on any given particular day, because if I just arrived back with no sort of structure or plan, it would have been very dangerous.
And is that something like you can replicate long term when you go home?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm working on my my long term plans. So I have sort of short term, medium, and then long term plans. But yeah, I need that structure, because it's dangerous to be sort of free-floating. And also, if you don't have that structure, it's the little things that can come out of nowhere that can sort of sideswipe you. So it's, for me, the biggest part of early recovery is awareness, of being aware of my feelings, of triggers, and being honest about it as well. Honesty is a huge thing, and asking for help.
And because you went home as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I went home 6 weeks.
And how was your motivation and structure when you were home?
It was really good, actually. I got up. I mean, at the very start, the first few weeks, I got up at 5 o'clock every morning, went for a run. it was almost a bit too keen, I think. So then I changed it and started doing it at 7. I think I went to meetings. I had that structure. I think it's a lot easier to have a structure in the Western world. I just think that's quite important to say, because here it's a bit different because of the meeting structures and the working. But I really liked being home, and I think I worked it well. I had a really good routine, and nobody was there to kind of stop me. I had my car. I knew what I was doing. I didn't allow the triggers and stuff to kind of take a hold of me. I had a plan. I was going back to the same room that I used in, the same car I picked up drugs in. Everything was exactly the same. The only difference was that I was different. So I was very aware of that before I went home.
And did you notice this, was it steady throughout, or were there times where it was much harder to keep that routine?
I think it was generally actually quite steady. Because I had a day by day plan. I wrote it all down, and I thought, if I start to slip in this area, then I know something's going wrong. I think the meditation slipped slightly towards the end, but it's hard as well, because you go back from treatment and everyone wants to see you and everyone wants to talk to you, and that's the social aspect, actually, is I think one thing that can always get in the way of recovery, because you kind of want to see everyone and want to do right by everyone and please everyone. But you can't really do that 24 hours a day like a normal person can, I think, because we've got, as addicts, we have to attend meetings, we have to have self-care, we have to have time by ourselves and time to meditate. And there's a lot to do, I think, actually. Mm. There is quite a lot that you have to consider, because we have a lot of feelings as addicts. That's what we've always been trying to run away from, and it's about just having those feelings and accepting them. I was definitely a lot more honest when I went home about how I was feeling. So if I did feel I was slipping, I'd talk talk to someone, or, you know, and I got a sponsor as soon as I went home, so I spoke to my sponsor every single day when I was at home, and that was really motivating for me, so...
One thing I remember, like, especially like during the '90s, I had a 2-year period where I was really into recovery and stuff. And I remember having days where I almost couldn't bear even the word recovery. I couldn't bear anything to do with it. Did you have any days like that?
I actually really sometimes I really love recovery. I'm a bit of a keener. I remember someone saying to me, "Do you ever talk about anything but recovery?" Which actually made me think, God, maybe I need to. And I suppose that's why now I add a bit of fun aspect in my day-to-day life, a bit of normality, shall we say, because I talk and breathe recovery, actually. But I do have days when I just want to lock myself in my room and just have a day in bed and not think about all the problems of my of life, really. Because it's so hard to overthink things.
Yeah, I mean, is there a danger that we sort of spend too much time thinking about our problems?
Well, that's the thing, yeah, that's why it's good for me. I mean, last night I sat and watched 4 episodes of Game of Thrones. That's quite addict behaviour, but I mean, I sat there and it took my mind off things. And just sometimes, just to have
How do you know when it's quite, because I mean, I know lots of people who would do a similar thing and he wouldn't necessarily refer to it as addict behaviour.
Because I was tired and I watched 4 or 5 in a row. I couldn't stop. I had to watch the last episode. And I knew I was tired. I was laying there. I was meant to go to bed at 8 and I didn't sleep till about 12:30. But that's the thing. Everything for me, especially, I have a lot of process addiction. So I latch on to things. I exercise. The reason I slowed it down after I came back here from being home was I began to obsess over it. I was exercising every single day. So I reined it in and thought, right, I'll keep back on exercising, which then led to me barely exercising at all because I was so scared that it would turn into a process addiction. So there's loads of different aspects you've got to think of, I suppose, in recovery.
Petra, you've been a bit silent there for a few minutes. So did you have any days like that where you just, I just need a break from even thinking about this stuff? Or?
Yeah, I mean, similarly to Paris, I do love my recovery, and I have to watch if I'm feeling. I had something the other day. It was either read my CBT for Dummies book or watch Netflix, and Netflix won because I just wanted to sort of be in the realms of fantasy, whatever. So maybe the guilt is healthy because I do feel guilty if I'm not sort of working on my recovery, and I'm comfortable with that at this moment because I think I do need that level of recovery in my life. So yeah, I have to watch just watch my behaviours a lot of the time. So yeah.
So let's see if we can sort of sum up with some advice for people who are sort of following in your footsteps. And I know we said at the beginning that most people coming here are going to be highly motivated, but not necessarily. Like, I think not everyone is always motivated when they come, like for whatever reason. Like they may have feel sort of pressurized into coming here. And, you know, I know I certainly did that, you know, the first few times I went to rehab. What would you sort of say to somebody like that about getting motivated?
My advice for somebody who comes into treatment and they're in very early recovery is to be open and embrace what is on offer without judgment, and just to try things, just to accept things that possibly may take you out of your comfort zone, but in the long run could be immensely beneficial to you. So, for example, I know somebody who dismissed mindfulness when they first arrived and now they absolutely love it. And for me, mindfulness has sort of revolutionised my recovery because it's something that's been new to me that I've discovered at home. Baby steps, day by day, moment by moment, and not looking too much into the future and grabbing every opportunity that is offered to you in the form of help or anything really. Just be open and accepting.
Good. And what about maintaining, you know, throughout, like if someone sits here for 1 month or 2 months, how would they go about maintaining that motivation?
I think it's about willingness mainly. I think with me, because I did everything I was asked, absolutely everything, even when I didn't want to. I didn't want to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I just did it. I told my head no, and it said, stay in bed, go on a couple more hours. And I'm like, no, I'm going to get up. So it's about just pushing yourself. And like, I was constantly battling with my mind at the start, and then it became a routine. But you do lose motivation. But then it's about, I used to Google like how to stay motivated, and I used to speak to people about it.
Did you pick anything up?
Just keep doing what you're doing. Motivation comes by continuing a good routine and by just pushing yourself. And it is hard, but actually it becomes quite simple really when you look at it in black and white. You just do.
One of the hardest things for me, and that I'm getting a little tiny bit better at, is to sit with my uncomfortable emotions, because previously they've been the ones that triggered me, and I've just drunk on them. But now I know that they're going to pass. I know that they're not going to last forever, and I've got things in place that can sort of see me through these emotions. And that is hugely important, is not to sort of down tools at the first hurdle, but to keep on going. So perseverance, it takes perseverance, definitely.
And how, like just one last sort of point, what if you've completely lost your motive? Like, say you're a client here, and you've just had a day where you've had enough, and it's already gone to that place where you just feel completely lacking in motivation. How do you get back out of that?
Well, I had days like that when I was here, and that was the time where...
So practical things that people can do, that you did or people can do.
Yeah, when you just... I mean, the things that I would do, I'd go and talk, to be honest. Sharing honestly, I think, is the most rewarding thing you can do, and actually saying, you know what, I can't be bothered. And sometimes it's all right not to be bothered. Sometimes it's okay just to have a day where you don't want to do anything. Like, I think that that's kind of acceptable. I think we're perfectionists, and we always try and make sure we're doing everything right and everything perfect. And sometimes we're not going to want to do stuff all the time. But I think that there's, especially in a rehab environment, you've got so many people that are willing to motivate you. I know that I myself in treatment had someone that was so motivating for me, like another client, and we motivated each other. We seemed to pick each other up all the time, and that was really good for me, because sometimes you do need that, especially in early recovery. You need other people to help you, lift you, and try and push you through, because we don't know all the answers. As much as I like to think I know all the answers and the solutions, I don't. Sometimes it's about just surrendering and kind of saying, I don't know, and this is how my mind's going. ABCs are very good as well when you're not being motivated. I think they are a really good tool.
What I've learned the most is not to keep it in my own head, but to get it out of my head. Because if I'm feeling I've got an issue with something, then I would dwell on it and dwell on it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and my thought processes get more and more bizarre. So it's sharing or talking to somebody, or else trying to meditate. But at times in my head so busy, that has been quite difficult. So being mindful as well.
I think you mentioned before going for walks. Did that help you?
Yeah, always. And it's something that you suggested as well, is the noticing the world around you. I mean, I've sat on my balcony before at a view that I've seen thousands and thousands of times, but I hadn't ever really looked. And it's taking, I can look at it for half an hour, and it's taking myself away from my negative thinking that is the most crucial. And also that if you do have a bad day, people have bad days, you know, you can wake up in the morning and you can start afresh. Don't think, this is it, this is the, you know, start of a slippery road.
I think that that's it. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, that I would sort of suggest is that, you know, when you're feeling down, don't turn on yourself. Like, don't use it as an excuse to beat yourself
definitely,
up.
Definitely.
So that was a great little chat. Thank you both.
Thanks,
Bob. Maybe we can do this again sometime.